Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am very excited today because I have got some really cool guests on, and we're going to be talking a lot of detail, really, really neat stuff we haven't talked about for a little while. So the first one I'm going to talk to, first person, is Cherry Guidry of Cherry Blossoms Quilting Studio. And when I first saw Cherry's work, I was super excited. But when I first saw it in person, I walked into her booth and it's like going into a little fairy tale land. Her work and her displays are just gorgeous. Hi, Cherry. How are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
I am so wonderful. I'm really glad you're here.
Thanks, me too. Thanks for having me.
You know, tell me a little bit about your work, because you do not only, you know, quilt patterns, but you have embroideries and you have this whole and fabrics. You have this whole spectrum of things. How did you get started with all this?
Oh, goodness. How I got started. Well, I was a big time blog reader and just left to be inspired by all this. And so I thought one day, well, why not just start my own blog, right? Which led to participating in a lot of blog hops and swaps, some of yours included. And so I was at one of these sites and the girl was hosting a Christmas blog hop and you were supposed to use the AccuQuilt Go Cutter. And my husband had given me one for Christmas the year before, and I thought, oh, perfect. I can do this. This will be a lot of fun. So I thought, oh, and I'm just going to make like a little snowman. So I got my little snowman dies, and I also bought these cute heather feather dies that were designed by Sarah Vedler. Mm-hmm. And so, but, you know, I just got those because they were cute. And so one day I'm in the shower, and I get a lot of inspiration when I'm taking these long, hot showers, right? And I'm thinking, wait a minute, forget about the snowman. Take those heather feather dies and make a tree. And, you know, I love Christmas and I love trees. And so they're all over my house during the holidays. And so I did. So, you know, shortly after that, I ran out there to my studio and I started playing with the little Christmas tree. And that's what I created for this blog hop. And so the gal that was hosting the hop, she posted a picture of that little project to the AccuQuilt Facebook group. And then Sarah, the designer of the die, saw it, and she shared the picture with this distributor. And within a day, they called me, and they were like, hey, would you like to create a pattern for that? And, you know, we'd love to sell it for you. And I thought, well, I guess. I had never considered designing patterns for sale. But that's how I started with designing. And so here I am now. So now I'm doing fabric and all the other good stuff. So it's been a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh. It's like a little fairy tale, you know?
It's it like is. Yeah, yeah.
And did you
just life takes a crazy turns, right?
It does. It does. Did you did you have an art background before? Because the way you put things together is so unique. I mean, it's definitely, you have a style. You can look at your work and see it's, you know, it's a Cherry Guidry style.
It's a cherry, right? That's what my
yes.
friends say. Hey, babe, look, there's a cherry. No, I don't. I didn't go to school for art, but I did take a lot of art classes from the time that I was very young. So, you know, I started sewing at 4 as a missionary kid. My mother taught me how to make clothes for my Barbie doll. And so I was hooked with fabric from, you know, from the time I was very young. I started my fabric stash. And so no art background. But, you know, I've always had a love for color. And detail and design. So, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, this is so, so neat. And people can go to your website, cherryblossomsquilting.com, to see, you know, this your style in visually, because you do a lot of curls and swirls. And I love that. That really speaks to me. And those units are sometimes hard to do by hand and get them exact. So you're doing all this mm-hmm. via die cutting, right?
Yes, yes. So so I did start out with the Go Cutter, but now everything I do with my handy dandy Silhouette Cameo, an electronic cutter. And, you know, it does. It gives you those perfect shapes that sometimes are kind of hard to cut by hand. And so, yeah, everything I do is with that Cameo. I was introduced to that by this particular distributor. They asked me to test this machine for about 2 weeks. And, you know, and I do scrapbooking, a little bit of scrapbooking too. And I had used some of the other electronic cutters. And I always thought, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to cut all your applique shapes with this? Because everything I do is fusible. I love the needle turn, but, you know, it's very hard to get a lot done that way. And so with the Silhouette Cameo, which is the one that I've become, you know, proficient with, it's super easy to get those perfect shapes.
So tell me how they work, because I'm not real familiar with them, because your shapes are not tiny little things like you would have in a scrapbook. I mean, they're nice, decent-sized shapes that a person, you know, can hold on to. How does that unit – you have to download the digital stuff, right?
Yeah. So, you know, you have options. So with this particular machine, you can either, like, I will sell you a pattern with the SVG files if you choose to buy that. And SVG files are just cut files that the cutter recognizes. So you can either, you know, buy designs that already have those files, or you can actually scan in your own pattern, your own shape, and convert them. And it's a very easy, quick process to convert them so that the machine can actually cut them. So super easy. And you know, and I always tell people, if you're a little bit nervous about, you know, if you want to make such a big investment, because, you know, it's a little costly, not too costly, but, you know, you can always go to the Silhouette America website and you can download their software. They have a free version of the software that you can actually download it and check it out before you actually take that step to buy it. But it's a very easy process. You know, you have software on your computer, and then you just prepare your fabric and put it on this cutting mat, feed it onto the machine, and hit cut. And that's it. And then you're ready to take it to your fabric and stitch it down.
Really, you just hit cut. Yeah, it sounds so easy.
Yes, it is cut. You're going to have to give it a try.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I never have. I really have not explored it at all. And so I'm really glad. That's why I really wanted to have you on here to talk about it. So when you prepare your fabric, this, you know, are you doing like 8.5 by 11 sheets, or how are you preparing it with fusible on the back?
Okay. So, yes, it is for fusible. It's, you know, even though if you do like freezer paper, you could also use the machine for that. But, so the machine comes with like a letter size mat, there's a 12 by 12 mat, and then there's also a 12 by 24 mat. So it's great because it gives you, you know, a lot of space to cut large designs. And so the biggest thing, you know, these machines really, I think, are made for paper. So the biggest secret, is that you need to prepare your fabric so that you kind of sort of, I hate to say this, but fool the machine into thinking that it's cutting paper. Mm-hmm. And so I've learned through a lot of trial and error that you need to starch your fabric to death. And I found this liquid starch, like in the grocery store or your big box store. It's called Stayflow. And, you know, that's been around forever. I'm even surprised they still have this available. But you take 50% of this liquid starch and 50% of water. You mix those two together, and then you dunk your fabric that you're going to cut in that mixture, and then you just put it on a little drying rack overnight, and the next morning you get up, and then you mix it with a little water and press it, and then add your fusible to the back of that, and then you can run it through the machine. And I used to take the fusible paper off before I put it on that mat, because those mats have a little repositionable adhesive on them. But then I found that I was pulling a lot of my shapes off and, you know, getting a little frayed edges. So I started leaving the paper on there. So another thing you need to do is choose the correct setting for the depth on your blade so that it cuts right. So like for fabric, because they have recommendations. And so for fabric, the cotton fabric just to do, I think it's a 3. And because I have that fusible on there and the paper also, I started cutting with a 5, and, you know, just between the starch and putting that blade down to 5, you're going to end up with, you know, designs that cut just like butter. They come out so pretty. And swirls especially, right?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. That is so cool. You know, I'm going to have to get a demo on this sometime. Next time I see you, you're going to have to show me.
Yes,
no, you have
– yeah.
You have a lot of super cute things, including your fabric. What is your current line in the stores?
In the stores right now, I have Soul Blossoms, and I design fabric for Bannertech. And so you can either go to the Banner Takeswift site and look under the Contempo tab, which is, you know, the modern side of Bannertex, and you can do a search for Soul Blossoms, and you can see images of that. And I also have an embroidery collection that just released October 7th that was digitized by OESD that coordinates with Soul Blossoms. And along with that, I have three patterns that you can go to my website and you can see them. So, lots of stuff to do with my new fabric line. It's a floral line. I designed this during winter months, and we were having a very cold winter, you know, even here in Louisiana, where I live. And all I could think was gardening and flowers and birds, and so it's just lots of flowers and, you know, aquas and pinks and very fun line. And I have to tell you, my husband has chickens, and so I did some birds. But they definitely have an influence of chickens in there. You've got to look at
chicken
them.
Birds.
Yes, chicken birds. Chicken doodle is actually the name of the princess chicken doodle.
Oh, there you go. There you go. You know, Jerry, we have like about 1 minute. So let me ask you, tell me about, just real briefly, about your pattern called with the dress on it, the wedding dress.
Oh, the dress. Okay, so the dress, it's kind of similar to that Christmas tree, if you've seen my Christmas tree. And, talking to a friend, I was trying to come up with a wedding quilt, you know. And so instead of your traditional dressing, the wedding ring, I was like, you know, I need to do something that's more wedding-like. And so my friend was like, well, you should just make a wedding dress. And I did. So I went home and I drew all these little shapes. It does not use the go cutter. It's just, you know, the shape I drew. And came up with that dress, and it's been a lot of fun. A lot of, it's not just for the bride, but also for a lot of the young girls. I've seen it done in, like, aquas and pinks and blacks and all kinds of crazy colors. And then you can embellish it, you know, do a little
fluorescent. Oh, my goodness. It is so
gorgeous.
Do some crazy
quilting. Yeah, it's been really pretty. Now I need to do the groom now, right?
That's right. That's right. A swirly groom. We'll have to see about that, Sherry.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Yeah. It cannot be a swirly groom.
Well, you can work on that. This has been so much fun. Thank you for sharing about the electronic cutters and your designs.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Pat. Anytime, and whenever you're ready to try the machine, just give me a call.
Okay.
Bye.
Choose
bye-bye.
From
we'll
more than
right
100
back.
Of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Like American Patchwork and Quilting on Facebook for daily quilting inspiration, tips, and giveaways. Find us at facebook.com/APQ Magazine. See our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on videos.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ Magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm going to be talking not only quilting designs, but organization with Stephanie Palmer of Late Night Quilter. I just love the name of that, Late Night Quilter. How many of us do that all the time? She's a professional long armor and has a pattern company and does all kinds of cool things. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Pat. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I am good. How did you come up with Late Night Quilter? Was it just...
Yeah, it just kind of describes me. I have 4 young kids, 8 and under, and it's really the only time that I get that time to myself to quilt and work on the things that I love doing. So it describes me through and through.
I think the first time that I saw something from you was actually a video that you did, like a tutorial, and it sounded like you were whispering, like you were.
Oh my gosh, you watched that? That's so funny. Yes, I was whispering. They were all asleep, and I filmed it upstairs, kind of close to their bedroom. So I was.
I know. That's funny. I had to giggle. I thought, well, she really is doing this late at night. They must.
I am. I'm not kidding. Yeah, I am. But I love it. And like you said, so many of us do that for different reasons: mm-hmm. day jobs, you know, responsibilities to our partners and our families. So I think it's a common issue that we all have.
And you also have a group on Facebook that people can find under the same name, right?
Right. It's called Late Night Quilters Club, and it's kind of like your group where you just click to join, and then someone will kind of click to give you access to the group, just so we make sure that they're real quilters that are joining
right.
it. And
yes.
It's really wonderful and supportive, and you can post anything that you're working on, and it's. I find that a lot of people really love to get opinions on it. I think it's what Facebook is so wonderful for. It's for sharing the things that we love to work on and getting that support from everybody else in our quilting community.
Yeah, the community part is amazing, just totally
right.
amazing. Now, you are fairly new to the business side of quilting. You've told me it's just been a couple years. What made you sort of dive into the long arm part of it?
Well, I had seen the long arm in action at my local quilt shop, and I was intrigued by it. And I tried sitting down and quilting on my domestic and never just really loved the feel. I think a lot of people do, and now I'm better at it, and so now I enjoy it more. But I just wanted to give that long arm a try, so I rented time. I started for the first year of quilting. I was renting time on the long arm in my neighborhood, and I really found that I was more and more addicted to it, and I couldn't get on it enough because they're busy there. It's hard. And finally I made the plunge and decided that if I really wanted to see the improvement, I needed to be able to do it every day. And so I bought my own long arm, and I have just become more and more obsessed with it.
And you do work, you have clients, so you take
yes.
on quilting for others. What part, you know, that sounds stressful to me. You know, I mean, I did a little bit of that like years ago. You know, what part of that do you like?
It is a big responsibility. And when you say it like that, you're right. I think maybe I might be in a little bit of an adrenaline junkie, and I don't even know it, because you want to make the people happy, because people spend so much time, so much of their heart and their life and their love of what they're doing goes into a quilt top. But I think I like it the most because I love to collaborate, and I love partnerships, and I think that when you partner with somebody, you get some really wonderful, creative, interesting results. And I get the opportunity to quilt tops that I never would have been able to piece myself. Either I wouldn't have time, or it's a technique I haven't mastered yet. It's really, selfishly, it's really inspirational, and I love doing it. I really do.
Yeah, I've heard that same reason from a few other people, that you get to experience so many more options because you like
yes.
the quilting part, the design level that you're putting on the three layers,
right.
And you can't make enough quilts yourself.
Exactly. I wish I was faster. But and also what I tend to gravitate toward when I'm designing and piecing my own quilts, I tend toward more simplistic designs. That doesn't mean that I don't love the more intricate piecing. I really love it. It's just not what I tend to do. So I'm fortunate because when I'm working on the long arm, I get to stand in front of it and have my hands on it and enjoy the different fabrics and the styles. It's just a wonderful opportunity that I have.
And you're also now teaching long arming, right?
I am. I just became a handy quilter national educator. And so I'm going to be able to start traveling around the country this year teaching. I'm very excited about it. Really, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Will you have like a schedule on your website so that people can know, like, if you're at a particular show?
Yes, I will. I'll put it up on my website. It'll also be on the Handy Quilter website. And
okay.
I can also go to individual local quilt shops if anybody wants me to come teach somewhere. You can just email me at latenightquilter@gmail.com or check out my blog, and I'll have information there as well.
Cool. So let's switch gears just a little bit, because you also, I love that you love to collaborate with people, because you have taken on a major collaboration project of creating a day planner geared specifically for quilters. And I'm very honored to have been asked to contribute something to it. Tell me a little bit about the project.
Well, I'm honored that you agreed to contribute. It was my lucky day. I was really thrilled. The Quilter's Planner, as you said, it's a weekly and monthly planner, but what makes it special is I designed it specifically for quilters like us who have a lot of balls in the air and need to be able to get organized with our projects and our other life responsibilities. So the Quilter's Planner, first of all, it's really cool because there's 8 patterns in it, full patterns from people like you and Lee Heinrich from Freshly Pieced and Mandy Lyons from Mandalay Quilts and a lot of others, beautiful quilts. And each page of the weekly layout, so over 52, you get a new quilt block, an original quilt block design. And
that's
it
neat.
Also has pages in the back for tracking what your projects are and planning them out. And swaps and bees, all that stuff that can get overwhelming. It's one place to keep it all. It's really fun. I'm looking at it now. I'm very excited. I have the prototype in my hands. It's really awesome.
Now, tell me a little bit about organization and things like that, because you obviously have a passion for it, to have gone to develop a planner. What are some tips for people who want to get better organized?
Okay, well, I have to admit, the reason that I'm obsessed with it is because it's not a natural talent of mine. I struggle with it, something that I'm always battling my whole life, you know, and I'm always looking for a better system. And one of the things that I like to do is try and spend time organizing the things that inspire me and make sure that I have easy access to them again when I feel like I'm in a moment when I'm stuck and I need inspiration. So I've started using some more things on my computer and on my smartphone that help me do that. And I have this app on my smartphone called Carousel. I don't know. Have you seen that yet? Do you have that?
Mm-mm.
And it helps you organize your photos.
Okay.
And if I see something on my phone online, if I'm like looking online or looking on Facebook, I can take a quick picture and then I can save it in a file on Carousel, and I have access to it whenever I need to look through things to get ideas. And Dropbox, I think you use Dropbox, right?
Right.
Dropbox is a wonderful organizational tool. So when I'm on my computer, anything I save, I can save to Dropbox, and then I have access to it on my smartphone too. So I'm never stuck with not knowing where my stuff is, where my ideas have gone. Those things have really helped me a lot with staying inspired.
Yeah, so when you're trying to plan out projects, I think for a lot of quilters, you know, like a swap or you're doing a round robin or you're doing something
right.
like that, you know, those are commitments longer term, and not everybody's had to do long-term planning in their personal life. You know, that might not be what they normally do. So what are some tips to be sure you meet your deadlines? Because that's always the big thing, meet the deadline.
Well, yeah, writing it down is the hugest tip. There's been a ton of research. I'm a psychologist too, so I like to read research about things like this. And there's been a lot of research that actually writing it down, pen and paper, is a massive part of meeting your deadlines. There's something about that old-fashioned pen and having it visually in front of you that's different than our planners that we have on our smartphones and on our computers. And I think it makes me personally more accountable when I'm writing it down. So I think that's my biggest tip, is to write it down, have it there in front of you where you can access it and look back. Again, as quilters, we are all visual people. There's not a single quilter out there who's not visual. So we need to be looking at this stuff in front of us all the time.
Yeah, I think that is so interesting. I mean, I come from a scheduling environment. That's how my brain works. It's just, you know, it's like over the top is organization-wise. So it's hard for me to not, you know, think about being deadlines and organized. But I know so many people, that's just not part of your natural workflow.
Right.
It's not
right.
what you normally do.
Right.
Those are great tips. Tell me about your pattern that I showed of the little dresses.
Oh, the little dresses. That was so many of the stuff that the things that I make now are inspired by my kids. And my kids and I were on an origami phase, you know, of folding paper, little squares of paper. And my daughter and I were making these little dresses. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I could do something related to quilting with this, because isn't that how it goes? Everything comes back to quilting in the end.
Everything.
It's all
everything.
And I thought, I could just make those out of fabric. So I had to do some quick thinking and research about how I could make the fabric turn out more like paper. Mm-hmm. And so I use a stabilizer to do that. Mm-hmm. And you can quilt any kind of background design you want. Go crazy with it and do whatever you want, and then make these little origami shapes out of fabric. They end up looking like folded origami paper, and put them on. Now, these aren't cuddly quilts that you're going to put on your bed. These are more wall hangings and pieces of artwork.
Yeah. I just think they're adorable. I've done a butterfly. That was my only foray into the origami, and I did it with some starch. So I think
I use something like starch. I use Stiffy, which is kind of, I think, a starch-based product. It's similar. Yeah.
Yeah. And Cherry earlier was talking about how when she puts things through the die cut machine, she's using sort of a liquid starch to get them firm. Because if you're going to fold like that, Stephanie, right, you have to have pretty crisp edges to get the look.
Yes, I've done it without it, but I think I probably use the same liquid kind of stabilizer that Cherry does. It's you have to let it dry for a couple of hours, and then it actually, believe it or not, you can press the fabric after you've done that, and it doesn't hurt my iron or anything, and it can smooth out any little bubbles that you get.
Perfect, perfect. Yeah. Well, you know, I want everybody to visit you at latenightquilter.com and check out your day planner and your quilting, because, you know, maybe they're looking for a quilter.
Yeah, that would be great. I would love it. I'd love to see some new interesting designs out there that I'd get to quilt. How lucky for me.
That would be a lot of fun. So,
yes.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing, and have a great day.
Thank you for having me, Pat. All right. Take care.
We'll be right back after the break.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Set yourself up to stitch a little every day. When you finish stitching, before putting everything away, rethread your needle and take the first stitch. Then the next time you pull out your project, you'll be ready to sit down and start stitching.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg. Join me in 2015 for a brand new video series called Show Me How, brought to you by Baby Lock. Each month, I'll show you how to complete a simple project from start to finish. Learn new techniques, see tips, and sew a great project. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/videos to watch.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I hope you got some good information on how to get organized. It's always a good thing. So I'm so excited. I have my friend Amanda Herring of The Quilted Fish, and we are going to talk about, designing and possibly a little Jane Austen. So hi, Amanda. How are you?
I am well, Pat. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so excited we have a chance to talk for the whole half of the show. This is going to be fun. Let's talk about your fabric. How many lines have you done? Do you know?
Oh, I think I am working on number 13 right now.
Lucky 13. That's
Yeah.
And so do your fabric lines come out like once a year, or are you like twice a year? Is there any kind of schedule?
Twice a year. And they're always really great to time mine around International Quilt Market. So usually a May release and an October release.
Okay, so that means you're pretty much, my lines come out like once a year, so, and pretty much always have, but you,
you're pretty much designing all the time then.
I should be. But a lot of times I wait until, I'm 3 or 4 or 5 weeks away, and then I completely panic and spend, hours and hours and hours in front of my computer trying to figure out what I'm doing. But a lot of times I'll know before I even sit down kind of what my concept is going to be. I know that I want to work in this direction, and it's a lot easier to sit down and get to work, because that's the hardest part for me.
So when you start, Amanda, when you start a collection, do you have like a theme, like, or do you start with like a color? What kind of kicks off things?
Well, when I very first started designing, I just kind of liked to work around, something I had drawn. Now I really like to have my whole collection center around a concept or a theme. I find that it's a lot easier to design, mm-hmm. and it's a lot more fun to promote, because, I can totally immerse myself in whatever culture it is I've created around my fabric line. Mm-hmm. And that, for me, it just makes the whole process magical and fun, that it's all focused on one central idea.
And then when you're doing this, how do you get the colors? Do you paint? Do you have mood boards?
Sometimes I set up a mood board. I find that for me, I have certain colors I always gravitate towards, mm-hmm. and it's really hard for me to kind of break away from those. And I try to on occasion, but I always find myself pulled back to red and turquoise and pink and yellow and, kind of bright, happy colors. Mm-hmm. But when I'm picking, I have a Pantone Fashion and Home Color Guide deck. It's kind of like if you were a painter, they have a deck of all of the colors that you could paint your house. Mm-hmm. It's a similar thing. And so I can fan this big deck out and say, I like that color and I like that color. And I use little post-it notes and I mark my spot in there. And then I start pulling them together on the screen to see how they look. When I finally, have created a combination that I'm happy with, and I save them all, and that's what I will create the other pieces off of.
Oh, everybody's process, it fascinates me, the processes that everybody uses, because some are sort of similar and some are just, everybody's unique, right?
Right. Isn't that great though?
I love it. Yeah. I want to, one of the things that I love about how you work with your lines is that I like how you put part of the fabrics, like, become the coloration of images. I'll give you an example of the pickup truck line, the line with the pickup truck in it. What's that one called?
That was called,
Twice as Nice.
Yes.
Well, I'll just describe it for people. It's like it has this amazing repeat pickup truck, and we're talking about red and turquoise and, happy, fun, not like grungy or anything. But the car itself is like patchwork. It is so adorable. I had to buy that.
I love that piece. That was when I had to throw a truck in there somewhere for my husband. And then somehow he missed the memo that I had done that for him until it came out and he saw the finished fabric and was quite excited. He said I wasn't allowed to actually paint a truck like that, though.
Oh, that's kind of disappointing. Yeah,
I know. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yes. Well, you could decoupage it, Amanda. You could get
brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's
just put it in the front of your yard.
I would. That's actually totally something I would do. So
yeah,
yeah. I don't like to get in deep with whatever I'm creating. So,
I think it's that line when it came, it was like, oh my gosh. I mean, because that's sort of the epitome of seeing what you do with it and how you take that pattern. And you have on your website a page that says fabric, and so people can go there and look at all your fabric lines and see the different pieces in them. So now let's talk about Jane Austen for a bit.
Oh, let's talk about her. I love her.
Let's talk about her. Okay. So your fabric line is called Ardently. I can't even say that. Ardently Austen. There we go.
Yes.
And you did. I mean, when you talk immersion, did you? And okay, so I have to tell everybody, Amanda's colorways do not look anything like Jane Austen. Not vintage. So they kind of, nothing.
I kind of went away from the historical color palette and into a more fun, colorful one.
Yeah. Okay. So when we're talking about deep immersion, I'll just make this great big leap of faith here that you actually are a Jane Austen fan. Are you?
Enormous fan. Love her.
Okay. Okay. So here's my true confession. I've never read any. So.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what the best way to get familiar with Jane Austen is, and this is how I did it. Mm-hmm. I was actually given a book for Christmas from one of my employees, and she said, you have to promise me you'll read this. And I thought about my schedule. I thought, how on earth am I going to have time to read this? But I promised her because she was so earnest in her appeal. You know, she really wanted me to read this.
Yeah.
So instead of actually reading it, I downloaded the audiobook and listened to it while I was sewing, which is my favorite way to quote, read. And after I made it through the first one, which was Sense and Sensibility, was the first book of hers that I listened to, I immediately downloaded all of them and kind of just binged on Jane Austen and was absolutely hooked on her fabulous stories.
Okay, so tell me what, because I'm sure I'm not the only person. There might be one other person who hasn't read them. just the two of us. Tell me why her work is so appealing. What is it that speaks to you?
Well, for me, it's a few things. First is that I love to think about life being much more simple than it is. We have such great things now, technology, you know, and cars and all of the things that they didn't have back then. And sometimes I think we get inundated with all the stuff of life. And back then it was much more simple. I'm sure if we were to step back, we would probably be bored. But sometimes that's a little bit appealing to me, I'm not going to lie. But I also love that her stories are about love, and they're simple love stories, but somehow I always end up, even though I know what's going to happen, my heart is racing, and I'm so hoping that the heroine's going to get her love and that everything's going to turn out well. And when it does, I mean, who doesn't love a happy ending? And I think, you know, I feel very sad for Jane that she didn't get her own happy ending. But I love that she has created such magic for so many readers for so many years. And think about being a woman author in the 1800s and actually being published in your lifetime. I think that's quite an extraordinary feat.
Yeah, and using your own name, because I'm sure there were ghostwriters that probably didn't get any recognition who were women writers then. Yeah, it's just... Well, you know, okay, I'm going to have to get one. Which one should I start with?
Well, everyone loves Pride and Prejudice, but my personal favorite is Persuasion.
Okay.
So if I were to recommend, I would pick Persuasion, but I bet most of your listeners would say, no, Pride and Prejudice, Pride and Prejudice.
Okay, so since we were able to really, really understand how you developed your fabric line. You have a love for Jane now that your friend, you know, insisted you listen. Aren't you glad she did?
I am so glad.
So when did the idea come to you that it would be a great theme for your style of fabric?
I find that, you know, when I'm designing two lines a year, sometimes inspiration is a little bit short. So when there's something in my life that I feel really strongly about that I love so much, it's much easier to create around that. So I'm always kind of looking through my life and thinking, what do I have going on, or what do I have, you know, that I'm feeling passionate about that I can design around? So, you know, knowing that I had that love was really what pushed me into design. It made it really easy to design. I shouldn't say easy to design the fabric, but easy to sit down and come up with a concept around that.
Right. So your line then, I'm passionate about this. I know I love it. And so I feel like I can get some story that'll produce you know, fabric that eventually will be fabric. So how did you think through what images, because your fabrics often have realistic images and florals and geometrics. You have a spectrum of things. Do you start with realistic images?
With this particular line, I started with historical drawings, like embroidery designs and what was on fabrics at the time. And then I kind of took what the traditional designs of the time were and recreated them in from my perspective. Mm-hmm. This is how I would want to wear those designs, and this is how... And then I think that it's a really good thing to sprinkle... I mean, we live in modern times, so why not sprinkle some modern in? And there's a lot of modern quilters that like kind of unique things, so I wanted to touch on that too. And that's what the cameo piece is. It's the fractal cameo. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the blend of, you know, the 1800s and the 2015, whatever year it is. Right now I'm totally lost. But, you know, I loved merging those two together and really creating something that is unique to me and something that connects me with the past.
I love the cameo piece because it is very usable, the way you laid it out, that I think that when you cut it up and put it in things, it'll create texture, and you're not going to just say, oh, look at that cameo, because you have some that are very tonal and then one that's a little bit more distinct, right?
Right, right. And I think that that cameo is such a great, it's such a great piece. I just love cameos, so.
Well, I'm going to have to get some in Hoarded to go with the book reading that I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be very busy, Amanda. This is like
a
lot of work. Yes.
I'm just going to book you up.
Okay, so what?
One of the most popular pieces in that line is the text print, where we actually pulled actual, you know, parts of the books into a text. And people are just dying over that piece.
Oh, I know. And you have it as traditional black and white, you know, white with black lettering. And then what are the other colors?
There's a yellow with white lettering and a teal with white lettering. I guess I never know. Teal or turquoise to me are so much the same. So teal or turquoise with white.
Right.
Whatever you want to call it.
Right. And then you can go aqua, which is usually light shade. It may be a tad more greeny to some people. So, yeah, they all mean the same thing. It's variations of that color. So we're going to take a break, Amanda.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about how you sort of went into costume for all of this. Okay.
Fantastic.
We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To maintain consistency when piecing, keep your eye on the spot where the needle enters the fabric, not the needle going up and down.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making pillowcases and creating smiles. For people who love to sew or quilt, it's so easy to lift spirits and bring smiles to hospitalized kids, homeless families, and others in need. Simply join American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine's 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. Make one, two, or more pillowcases and donate them in your local community. You'll create just as many smiles. Join the movement today. Find complete details, download free patterns, and record your donations online at allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcases.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am talking to Amanda Herring about her fabric line, Ardently Austin, and designing with a theme, and just how she designs in general. So, Amanda, now, I was sort of on Facebook and was looking out there, and along scrolled this video from you. The video is amazing and funny, and I just was like, this was the whole thing. I was like, okay, I'm writing you. You are going to tell me about this. So because you told me you do sort of – you get in really in deep with your theme of your fabric line, you have like a whole Jane Austen thing going on now.
Yes. So what we did was I knew I wouldn't be going to fall market last fall, but I wanted to do something to introduce my fabric line. And my assistant is this lovely woman who is also a huge Jane Austen fan, but is also, she's a writer, and she can write. She writes real good. She writes very well. And so I said, why don't you write us a script, and we'll have a, you know, we came up with this whole concept, let's make a movie, and it'll be us, you know, in Jane Austen attire, and we'll be all Regency, and it'll be so much fun. And so she wrote this fantastic script, and we made costumes, and I even made myself a corset.
Oh, my goodness.
And we got totally into it. We had, you know, makeup artists come in and do makeup for us. We had our photographer and videographer there and had fabulous food, and we had a little Instagram contest, so we had a winner that got to come and join us at the party. And,
oh, really? Oh, my gosh, yeah. I didn't know that part. Oh.
Yeah, and she joined us from Arizona, flew into Utah for the party, and we had such an amazing time that at the end of it all, we thought, we need to do this again. So we're having a retreat next fall where you can come and, you know, participate in your own little Jane Austen event and have a ball. Literally, we're having a ball, and, you know, we'll have our own Mr. Darcy there. But I just, you know, it's really fun to step out of your regular life. And I think that that's so much of the time what designing is for me and creating is for me. And I know it is for the thousands and thousands of other quilters out there and creators out there, that this is a way for us to step outside of, you know, maybe what's hard about life. Mm-hmm. And really immerse yourself in something that you love. And that's what this whole video and fabric line and retreat have become for me. It's just a step outside and a little wink and a nod to the things that I love in my life.
You know, the whole concept of, have you done a video like that before?
Never. It was so much fun.
Now, everybody who's, if you go to my site for today, for the radio show for today, November 23rd, 2015, I've got the video embedded in there so you can watch it. When you were planning this and you all decided to make the dresses, I mean, how did you find, you know, of course, they're done with your fabric, but where did you find the patterns?
I bought most of mine from a website, or not a website, but an Etsy shop. Mm-hmm. Called Patterns of Time, and that she has some fantastic period patterns. Mm-hmm. And some people picked up, there's, you know, some Butterick and McCall's costume patterns that are also, you know, Regency type attire that they made them from. Everybody was on their own for making their dresses. We got our fabric about a week and a half before the video. And, you know, if you know anything about fabric design and deadlines, that's just kind of how it works.
Yeah.
You know, you have really small window to work in, but everybody got their fabric and everyone was frantically sewing. And, you know, I made my bonnet, which was a fantastically fun experience. That was so much fun, so different from what I usually do. And
I
know,
love it.
It was really great. And everyone just jumped on board and got to work, and we just hustled it all out.
And everybody had their hair done, so
yeah.
And did you have to practice your script, because it's really adorable, or did you have like 800 takes?
No, well, a little bit of both.
Yeah.
We brought in an Emmy-winning producer that came in and did voice coaching, accent coaching for all of us, which, you know, it worked better for some of us. My accent isn't that great, but, you know, she came in and talked through our lines with us, helped us to know how to say them with an accent. And we brought in hairstylists that had practiced what they were, you know, the different styles. And we had a bunch of, we had a Pinterest board that everybody could get on and look at hairstyles and kind of decide what they wanted. And, you know, it was all, and then there was, 800 takes after. I think for my, one of my scenes, we had to do it 6 or 7 times. And then, you know, I got so into the whole thing, and then it gets, and then it ends, and we start watching the video, and I'm like, oh, I really did that? Oh, that was so silly. But we were so involved in it. It was just, it was really fun, really great time.
So was this for taking one day to do the whole thing?
We did it all in 3 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it was, well, it was probably a little bit more than that, including hair and makeup. But the actual filming portion of it was about 3 hours long.
Yeah. Oh, then that's pretty quick.
Yeah. We were running out of line and light and frantically running around trying to shoot the last few scenes. So it was really fun.
And the party was outside. You had tables and food. Just now, what when you finished that? What did you feel? I mean, relief maybe, but you know, when you had a chance to look back at it, what did you think?
You know, I actually was pretty sad for the first couple days after that it was over, because we had had such a great time putting it all together and creating all these wonderful things. And I've never really enjoyed sewing clothing very much, but I really enjoyed the process of sewing my dress and my jacket and my hat for that. It was really a fun experience. And so I just felt sad. I wanted a do-over. I wanted to just experience it all again. It was such a beautiful day. But, you know, after I got over the sadness, it was just all right, let's do this again. I'm ready to do it again. What can we do? What else can we do to recreate that again?
I just think that you did an amazing job with it. The fabric line is so gorgeous. And it's pinks and yellows and turquoise and, you know, green, and it's not vintage at all, which I love that part. Isn't that weird? But that's the part I love. It's like, it's fresh.
Right. It is fresh and fun and very happy.
Mm-hmm. Well, all your fabrics are like that. You always do amazing. I love
your
fabric.
Well, thank you. That's very kind.
Now, tell me we'll switch gears just a little bit here. What is your studio like where you work?
Well, I have two places that I work. I have a studio at home where I sew, and then I own a little cottage about 15 minutes from my home, where we have our office and we do our work side of things. And the cottage is my favorite place. It's just this tiny little home that was built in 1938, but it's set on about an acre of land. And that's where we filmed the movie, the little video for Jane Austen. It has trees that are 125 years old, and it has just a magical feeling about it. Hmm. And the walls are pink, and it has a little turquoise, blue, teal kitchen, whatever color you want to call it. And, you know, it just kind of has a really special feeling about it. And I feel really honored that I get to work there every day. And that's, well, I don't work there every day, but most days. And that's where we, you know, send patterns from and handle order production. Mm-hmm. And then at home, I, you know, just have a place nestled in the middle of my family where I can put something on the sewing machine and sew it, and my kids come in and join in. Somebody's usually painting somewhere, and the dog's on the floor, and it's always a mess. And I don't know any other way to work, sadly.
So your cottage, did you purchase it? Are you renting it?
Oh, I purchased it, and we renovated it. It was the basement was still had all the old electrical and was kind of creepy. So we gutted the basement and put in new walls and new lighting and new electrical down there. And the upstairs we left much the same as it was. The one thing we did, we replaced all the flooring upstairs, and as we were pulling the carpet off the back stairs, we found painted on the floor treads of the stairs, it said, "Enter with a happy heart," painted up the stairs.
Oh.
And it was just like this little secret thing that we uncovered, this little treasure. And so we painted it on the wall right by where it was because we weren't able to save the treads the way they were. They mm-hmm. were too damaged. So we painted it on the wall so we would always remember that sweet little message we found. And it is such a happy place. And I'm so glad it's mine.
Did you paint the outside then?
Not yet. We're actually looking at building an additional space in the back where we can host creativity retreats and wedding receptions and things like that. And when we do that, I think we will paint the outside to coordinate nicely with that. But for now, I like it in its original state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it does have a pink door and green shutters.
Of course it does. It's yours.
Yeah, of course.
And what color is the kitchen again? Would you say pink?
Yes, well, you know, it's that bluish color that could be teal or turquoise or aqua, whatever way you lean on that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my goodness. And there are some pictures of it on your website back in, people scroll back a little bit on your blog, so.
And it was also featured in Where Women Create last spring, so if you are interested in going back and finding that, it's in there as well.
Yeah, it's very, very fun. So where can people find out about your Jane Austen retreat?
You can find out if you go to my website, thequiltedfish.com. There's a link in there for the bonnet bash. And
of course.
It's going to be a fun sewing. We're going to do lots of fun sewing and top it off with a ball. And they can find out lots of other stuff about me and my fabrics and my patterns there as well.
Yeah. Amanda, this has been so great to really hear how you developed a fabric line. I love that. I appreciate it.
Well, it's been such an honor to be on with you, Pat.
And it's not, you're not nervous either, huh?
Well, that's because you can't see me. I'm shaking, and I'm sure I'm all flushed.
No, you're just sitting there in your pajamas. You're in your pajamas. In your kitchen. In your awkward kitchen.
Yeah, with my kids and my dog shut outside.
Yeah, I know. Everybody does that. They're like, oh, no pets in the house. That's like, because the dog always wants to talk. Yeah, the dog always wants to talk to me if it's in the room. So
I believe it. Well, who wouldn't want to talk to you?
Oh, well, I am so happy for you. You did just a smashing job, my dear.
Well, thank you.
Yes. My stepmother's British, so I know I'm bilingual, so.
Oh, yes, darling. So good at your accent. Much better than me.
Well, thank you, Amanda.
Oh, thank you, Pat.
This is American Patchwork and Quiltings Podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Visit us next week where we're going to have another show. Visit allpeoplequilt.com. You can come see me at patsloan.com. We'll catch up.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.